This is a great city. When he does come back, the fans are going to embrace him and support him.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com, and you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_bball. Today we're going to be looking back at a busy Tuesday, 10 games in the NBA, and then previewing 5 games for Wednesday for DFS. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it indeed.
We will start where we always do with
Monstrous Line of the Night.
And it is also the Deep Leaguer of the Night and the
Waiver Wire Line of the Night.
Because Christian Wood went absolutely bananas for the New Orleans Pelicans. Wood, who has, you know, I've talked about him in bits and pieces on this show over the last 2 or 3 years. He had some immaturity issues off the court, but his statistical profile always made him look like an absolute fantasy monster in the making. Just never had that opportunity. Finally, the opportunity came. He played 32 minutes for the Pelicans, had 23 points with 9 rebounds, 1 3, 1 assist, 3 steals and 6 blocks. He was 7 of 9 from the field, and he was 8 of 14 from the free throw line. Obviously not that good. Now, looking at what his numbers have been this season aren't really all that instructive for us. Let's take a look at what he's done over the G League this season, playing for Wisconsin. He was a member of the Bucks earlier this season. He's had stints in Philadelphia and in Charlotte over his NBA career. So in his 28 G League games this season, 29 and 14 in 35 minutes, 2.5 assists, over a steal, 2.2 blocks per game, hitting a 3 a game, 56% shooting from the field and 76% from the free throw line. So not a great free throw shooter, not as bad as what today's would indicate. Blocks shots, gets steals, monster rebounder, can score, can stretch out as well. Now, he got way more minutes than both Cheick Diallo and Jahlil Okafor in today's game, and I think Okafor's spot in the rotation is cooked. I think Wood will take that spot. Now, when Anthony Davis returns, if he returns with these back spasms, I wouldn't be surprised to see Tone miss a few games here. I think that Wood has a real chance at 20-plus minutes down the stretch of this season. Does that make him a must-roster guy? I think that's probably pushing it just a little bit too far because, again, we don't know Davis's status, but if Davis is out, and in April especially, I think you're going to have really big Christian Wood-type performances. He has only done it once on an NBA stage, but he has had moments before where he's shown these flashes, and you know, coming from his G League numbers, his college numbers, he always looked like this really, really interesting fantasy guy, the prototypical excellent fantasy producer. It's just getting him on the court and making him be there consistently that is the worry. If you're in an 18, a 16 team league championship week, he's worth having a look at least. The Pelicans play again on Thursday, and they play again on Sunday. So you're going to have some value in using him there. If Davis doesn't play especially, I think Davis is more at risk at missing the Thursday game rather than the Sunday game, but there's a chance that these back problems linger and he's questionable every game and he ends up sitting out with these back spasms as their way of shutting him down for the season. I think that's realistic. There are only, for the Pelicans, they only have a few games left this season. I think there's only 6 games left for the rest of the season for the Pelicans, and Wood, I think, will be an active part of the majority of those. It's just all coming down to the minutes. So deeper formats, sure, 16s, 14s, you want to take a flyer, you're in deep shit after 2 days in your final matchup, and you want to take that flyer to see what happens with 2 more games left this week. But remember, it is only 2 more games left for Woody for this week, whereas streaming that spot, you can get someone in Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. 5 versus 2, in general, the 5 games are going to win out rather than 2, which might be 10 minutes, he might play 15 minutes, he might play 20 minutes. So it is worth mentioning, it's worth looking at, but a lot of the time streaming that spot is going to give you better value, would be my guess. Make sure you guys are checking out the new Himalaya podcast app as well. A new app for you guys to check out in terms of cataloging all your podcasts and making a nice, easy podcast listening experience. So we can go straight through Waiver Wire and Deep Leaguer of the Night because that is all Christian Wood, and straight on to the
Young Gun of the Night.
And the Young Gun of the Night is Trae Young of the Atlanta Hawks. Comes from the same game against the Pelicans. Young played 31 minutes and had 33 points with 5 threes, 1 rebound, 12 assists and a steal. He was efficient, 12 of 24 from the field. He was 4 of 5 from the free throw line as well. And his massive run to end this season continues. Over the last 2 months, he's the 24th ranked player. He's 60th over the course of the season because of that poor start. But over the last 28 games, 45% from the field, including 40% from three. I think he's got a. I think he's almost a guaranteed top 50 guy next season. He's probably a third round player next year. And I don't think that it's crazy to think that he can get there. In those last 2 months, he's averaging 24, 4, and 9 with 2.8 triples and only 0.7 steals. If those 0.7 steals go to one steal a game, then he's a top 16, top 17 guy. I never would draft him in that area. But with how he is fitting in the modern NBA, now his usage is pretty high, but it's not extraordinarily high. 30%? That's not stupid crazy. It's high, and it might drop down depending on what happens with this team in the draft. But you could expect him to see his steal rate rise. The assists are already high. The free throw rate is already high. And that was one of the big selling points on Young coming into the NBA is his college free throw rate and his ability to draw fouls. And it has translated, much like Doncic. That's what give guys a huge base to step up into that top 20, top 15 range. I didn't think Young would necessarily get to this level, especially this season. I thought he could maybe push the top 50. I didn't think we'd be talking about him as a potential top 20 guy. But we're here. We're here with him at the moment, putting up those numbers and doing it consistently right at the right time of the year for fantasy playoffs. I tell a man's not hot. The dud of the night is Eric Gordon of the Houston Rockets. Clearly the ankle was bothering Gordo because he was piss poor. He had 23 minutes, missed all 7 of his shots, did not score, had 1 rebound and 1 assist. That is it. I think with everyone healthy on this Rockets team, he's not a must roster guy, and the numbers would back that up. He's actually the 158th ranked player over the course of the season. Not a 12-team league guy. Over the last 2 weeks, 194th. You can find his value in so many other guys. You want some threes? Get Wayne Ellington, who doesn't do anything else apart from hit threes. Gordon just does nothing else and is not someone that we really need to be looking at as a 12-team league guy. And if you still got him in 12s, move on. He's actually at that spot where he's maybe not even a must-roster 14-team league guy. And this is the case with him over the last couple of seasons, that when Chris Paul and James Harden are healthy and playing, then he just doesn't have that same level of value. It's pretty clear. It's stark. When one of those guys sits, his value rises. But now he's dealing with an injury of his own. And I think he is a pretty clear drop across all 10 and 12 and probably 14 team leagues with the way that Eric Gordon is going at the moment. The plus-minus goats, well, the worst net rating was Gordon, a negative 105.4, while the best net rating went to Paddy Connaughton, a plus 86.8. He really stepped up with the Bucks dealing with the Mirotic injury, the Brogdon injury, and now the Snell injury. Putting together some strong performances is old Paddy Connaughton. Let's talk some injuries. Drew Holiday's out for the rest of the season, had surgery on his abdominal issue. Frank Jackson was providing nice points, but he himself got injured today with a concussion, so you'd have to imagine he misses some time. That makes Ian Clark probably the next man up as a stream guy for some points and threes, but not a must-add 12-team league guy. Anthony Davis, have already talked about his back injury and the impact there with Christian Wood. Tone Snell, I think there's a real chance he doesn't play again this regular season, meaning Paddy Connaughton comes into play as an option. Sterling Brown for some deeper formats as well. Jeremy Lamb hurt his ankle today, did not return. I would imagine he misses some time. Dwayne Bacon and Miles Bridges are stepping up in his stead. Deeper leagues, you want to look at Malik Monk and Devontae Graham, who played over 20 minutes. I think Graham's going to be playing over Parker most nights anyway. And if Lamb misses time, all those guys are going to get a boost. Bacon as a points streamer, more so with Batum out, but with Lamb out, it helps him too. And Bridges solidifies as a back-end 12-team league guy. Paddy Beverley left the game with a hip pointer today. He said he'll be fine and doesn't expect to miss any time, so that's good news for the Clippers, who are already dealing with the absence of Landry Shamet, who missed today's game with an ankle injury. And Lauri Markkanen didn't return in the second half of the Bulls game due to an illness. They were already without Chris Dunn. Otto Porter and Zach LaVine. So then Markkanen went out to deal with his fatigue. Whether he plays on Wednesday remains to be seen. If he doesn't, I think you'd feel okay about dropping him just to get those extra games in championship week. If he is out, it's someone like Wayne Seldon and Timote Luwawu-Cabarrot who get a boost. Chris Felizio gets a boost in deeper leagues, playing all those backup minutes behind Robin Lopez as they won't be able to switch Markkanen across there. Obviously, while Brandon Sampson's the guy who actually replaced Markkanen in the starting lineup, that would have some 20-team, 18-team appeal if this does cause Lowry to miss some extra time. Other injuries, talked about it already. Frankie Jackson suffered a concussion. He is going to miss time while the Jedi, OG Anunoby.
Hello there.
He also suffered a head injury, did pass the concussion protocol, but will have another test tomorrow to see. Sometimes concussions can be delayed. He's only impacting deeper leagues at this point. While Trevor Ariza came back, I thought really quickly from this groin injury. He was initially listed as doubtful for this game and then got quickly upgraded to questionable and then started the game and then 7 minutes in, hurt his groin again. You would have to imagine that the next week of games for Ariza is probably out. And the rest of the season is in serious jeopardy now for Trevor. Troy Brown's been starting in his place, but he's not worthy of a 12-team league ad. He's more of a 14, but probably even more 16-team leaguer. And then with the change-up in starting lineup, Jeff Green and Jabari Parker get a little bit of a boost now if they're going to limit the Bryant and Portis minutes in Washington. You're still holding Portis, you're still holding Bryant. Parker for Wednesday and Green for Wednesday could be interesting stream guys, while Brown, again, is just more of that deeper league option with his... he really struggled in today's game against the Lakers as well. Let's look at these games now in some more detail across the NBA. There were 10 of them, a very, very busy day in the league. The first game up on the slate we look at was the San Antonio Spurs and the Charlotte Hornets. This game went to overtime with the Hornets winning 125-116. Aldridge was big again in 43 minutes, 20-15, while Rudy Gay stepped up. Quiet the last couple, but 16-9 here, while Jakob Poeltl, starter in name only, 7-7 on his... 3-of-3 shooting. He's not a must-roster 12-team league guy. Gay is a fringe player. Derek White, absolutely horrible shooting, 0-of-10 from the field, but 5 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. This is a guy who's had a consistently good field goal percentage for big chunks of this season, and you expect that to come back around, and that line looks absolutely amazing. I understand the feeling of dropping him, and I think that in certain circumstances that's warranted, but I don't think it's a blanket drop because that line overall is pretty good. On the flip side, you look at Bryn Forbes, who had 16 points with 4 triples, and you go, that's a much better line, but he did nothing else. 1 rebound, 2 assists, 0 steals, 0 blocks. In fact, White's performance, I think, is a better fantasy performance overall for Forbes. But as usual, and especially at this time of the year, that would depend on what your team looks like and how your battle's going, how your opponent's team looks. So, again, if you come to me with a question on Twitter and you ask, do I add JaVale McGee or do I add Kentavious Caldwell-Pope? Well, it's going to depend 100% on your team. And that's how it should be working really, really any point in the season for fantasy. Bellinelli had a weirdly big game, 17-10 with 5 threes. I wouldn't rely too much on that one. For the Hornets, the Baconator really stepped it up. 24 points for Dwayne Bacon in 36 minutes. 6 rebounds, 3 steals and a block. Shot the ball well. The minutes are up with Batum out and now Lamb out. When Nick does return from this illness, which has cost him way longer than I anticipated, Bacon goes back to more of a 14 or 16 team league guy. Kemba was great, 38-9-11, while Miles Bridges, 10 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, and a block. Now, that wide-ranging contribution is what's going to bring fantasy value from Bridges and why you should look to add him. Frank the Tank played 32 and had 15-10. Biyombo is trash, and he shouldn't be getting any of these minutes, but he's only playing 13 as a starter. While Bill Hernangómez, 22 minutes, 10-4 with 2 blocks. Him and Kaminsky, Hernangómez and Kaminsky, are more your 14-team league guys. While Devontae Graham, an interesting assists stream guy, he played 22 minutes here with Tone Parker active, but not getting into the game against his former team. The next game was the Celtics beating the Cavs on the road. Kyrie rested in this one, so Marcus Smart went crazy, 21-6-4 with 3 steals and a block, while Terry Rozier was pedestrian, 11-5 with 2 steals. The Celtics do have a back-to-back the rest of this week. I think Irving does play in both of those, but that's far from guaranteed. Horford seemed to be a little bit limited in his minutes, 19-8-5. The production was great. Tatum was good, 21-5-5. 5-4, while Jaylen Brown was piss poor. 9-6 in 18 minutes. He normally does step it up when Kyrie's out, but that obviously wasn't the case here. The Celtics also made a change to their starting lineup. Bainsey moved into the starting lineup in place of Marcus Morris, but their minutes remain very similar to what they usually are. 29 minutes for Morris. Baines played a bit extra, 25. It doesn't change their value. Baines is just a deeper league guy. This is not a guaranteed change to the starting lineup moving forward. Brad Stevens said he'll look at it on a game-by-game basis. While Morris is more your 14-team league guy. For the Cavs, they also changed their starting lineup. I was ready to rip Larry Drew a new asshole, but Larry Nance did play 31 minutes coming off the bench, 13-3-7, and I don't care if he comes off the bench or he starts. Those minutes have got to be there. He's a must-roster guy. Tristan Thompson started only 18 minutes. God knows why. 7-3-2, and obviously just a deep, deep, deep league guy. While Kevin Love was atrocious, he had 10 points on 13 shots. The 11 boards and 4 assists are nice, but a disappointing night. The Padawan Colin Sexton had his 24 points. He did it decently, efficiently. He did very little else. This is the Colin Sexton story. He can be a real help in points leagues and in points stream situations with decent efficiency. But when a bad night hits, he can't rescue it like Derek White can with those other peripheral numbers. Because if he has a night where the shots don't go in, then you get 8 points with 1 rebound and 1 assist and nothing else. And it looks disastrous because he just doesn't do anything in those other areas. Chetty Osman was good here, 15-7, but probably more of a 14-team league player. Brandon Knight also really terrible the last couple of games. The Chicago Bulls and the Toronto Raptors, a really comfortable victory for the Raptors, 112-103. With all those injuries in Chicago, Wayne Seldon played 40 minutes. He had 20 points with 3 steals. I think if these guys are going to continue to be out, Seldo can have some value. Big Shaq Harrison.
Big Shaq.
15 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. How many steals?
2 + 2 = 4. -1, that's 3. Quick maths.
Yes, another 3 steals for Big Shaq Harrison, the elite steals streamer. He probably is a 12-team league guy, rostered in allegedly 1% of Yahoo leagues. 14s, 16s, 18s, 20s, you got to add him, and he's even a 12-team league consideration guy. Ryan Archer-Jackineau, 13-6 with 2 steals for Arch in those 30 minutes. If Levine is out, he has some value, but it's more of a 14-team league scenario. While Robin Lopez's production has dropped way off, and if you need to stream in someone, you probably wait till after Wednesday, but 10-4-3 doesn't cut it long-term. Markkanen, as I said, didn't return for the second half. For the Raptors, the fun guy, Kawhi Leonard.
I'm a fun guy.
14-4-5 and 6 steals in only 22 minutes. No need to extend himself. 21 minutes for Kyle Lowry with 6 assists. While Serge Ibaka really looked good here. 16-8 with 2 blocks, but only 23 minutes. I think you're better served not having him on your 12-team league roster. Same with Marc Gasol.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Gasol played 20 minutes, 2 points, 6 rebounds, and 2 blocks. It's hard to justify holding both of these guys. Well, Jody Meeks finally got into a game for his team. Yes, he plays for the Raptors. He had 2 points in 5 minutes, while Dan Green only 15 minutes, as Nick Nurse really went easy in this one and still got almost a double-digit victory. The Orlando Magic beat the Miami Heat. Massive for Orlando to push themselves into that playoff discussion. 104-99, and they were down big at halftime as well. Vucevic was excellent once more, 24-16-5. Remember all the panic about him? Because he's going to get traded. Mobamba's going to take over, which I bought into a little bit, but not as much as maybe some other people. But he has been just one of the most consistent players this season. It's been ridiculous. While my man, Johnny Isaac, this is why I like Isaac, 19-6. 3 triples of steal and 2 blocks. Now, he's not going to be this aggressive offensively usually, but it's those that ability to bring the defensive numbers, and if the offense comes around, he's a consistent top 50 player. As for now, he's probably on the fringes of 12s, but that's strong. DJ Augustin bounced back, 17-4-7 despite poor shooting. Love him as a 12-team league guy. While Fournier was okay, but enough to at least hold on to him. Aaron Gordon had 14-10, and Terry Ross is a back-end 12-team league guy, probably more a streamer. For the Miami Heat, Dwayne Wade, 22-7-7 with 3 steals. His play this year has been unbelievable. They are pushing for this playoff spot. I think his minutes are going to be up. I think he's worth looking at for 12s. Well, Dion Wade has had a big game here, 26 with 5 triples. He is so unreliable, though. His playing time's unreliable. When Winslow is back, I think Wade loses quite a bit here. Richardson, 17 points, 6 assists. The shooting's still a disaster, but otherwise the production's good. Well, I think we can drop Hassan Whiteside pretty comfortably. 10 points in 15 minutes, while Bam Bam Adebayo.
Bam! 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 Bam!
30 minutes for Bam Bam, 9 and 11 with 2 steals. Kelly Olynyk, the minutes are so all over the place, 4 points in 23 of them, while Goran Dragic, I talked about how aggressively high his field goal percentage was and it was going to regress. It's regressed hard, 1 of 6 for 2 points in 26 minutes. You can do better with that roster spot in 12-team leagues than holding on to the iron shoulder. The Rockets beat the Bucks 94-1. Sorry, other way around. The Bucks beat the Rockets 108-94. Harden had 23-10-7. Capella had 17-11 with 2 blocks. And Chris Paul had 19-9-4. Talked about Eric Gordon struggling. But Danny House stepped up again. 15 with 5 triples and 4 rebounds in 28 minutes. Now, it's unsustainable. The defensive stuff's not there. He can't continue to do this at this level. He's not a 12-team league must-roster player. He's more of a 16-team guy than anything. But this was obviously strong. PJ Tucker, 1 of 9 from the field. He is a disaster. But he's more of use in that steals stream type area. For the Bucks, got to talk Paddy Connaughton here, who was great. 14-7-4. 4 triples, 2 steals, 2 blocks. Only took 5 shots, hit 4 of them, but it's filling up those other box scores. And as I said, I think Tone Snell and Malcolm Brogdon and Nikola Mirotic may not play again this regular season. Over the last 2 weeks, Connaughton's a top 75 player. The minutes look like they can withhold at least the rest of this week, maybe next week. I think Paddy is... he's worth looking at. The Bucks play again on Thursday and on Sunday. He's absolutely a worthwhile stream. Yanni had 19-14, while Bledsoe had 23-3-7 with 2 blocks. Big games from those guys. Sterling Brown started in place of Snell, who was starting in place of Mirotić, who was starting in place of Brogdon. Brown had 8-11 with 3 assists, a steal, and a block. Deeper leagues, this guy can play. So you want to have a look at him. He's rostered in 0% of Yahoo leagues at the moment. Lopez had 13-8 when Middleton destroyed your field goal percentage. 13-5 on 23 field goal attempts. He'll be better than that, obviously. The Atlanta Hawks and the New Orleans Pelicans. The Undertaker, Dwayne Dedman, had 18-9, limited with some foul trouble, as was the Baptist, John Collins, who fouled out in 20 minutes. That allowed Alex Len to play 27 minutes. He had 13-7. I think he hit 2 threes in the first quarter. Strong from Len, but a couple of factors had to play into that for him to actually get onto the court. The artist, formerly known as Taurean Prince, had 9 points with 5 assists and a triple one. I think he's worthy of a 12-team roster spot. While Bazemore only 11 minutes, Huerter struggling at the moment, and DeAndre Bembry stepped up 18-6-2 with 4 steals for Bembry. We've seen flashes of this from Bembs quite a bit. It just doesn't happen often enough to consider him in anything more than a 16-teamer. For the Pelicans, Lord Alfred Payton had 11-6-9 with 2 steals. Good production from him, while Julius Randle 24-9-5. Those guys are going to play pretty well for the rest of the year. Frankie Jackson had 20 points before his concussion, while Ian Clark had to step up and play 25 minutes, 12 points, 2 threes. He becomes that Frank Jackson type, the points and threes streamer. While Stan Johnson in deeper leagues looked like he could have a solid enough role. Ever since Alvin Gentry said we're going to be giving way more minutes to Cheick Diallo down the stretch, he has played fewer minutes than ever. 19 minutes in a start without Anthony Davis, his first career NBA start, 5-6, and then Christian Wood came out and showed him who's boss. So Diallo obviously doesn't have any value in 12s and probably 14-team leagues at this point. Next up, the Clippers handily beat the Minnesota Timberwolves. My man, the Rooster, Danilo Gallinari, the Iron Man, 25-10 with 6 triples and 4 assists for the Rooster, been an absolutely huge investment. And this is 2 years in a row that one of these guys that I've been more than happy to take a late round flyer on has really panned out because they fall so far. The year before it was Tyreke Evans. This year it's been Danilo Gallinari. I wonder who it's going to be next season, because there will be someone that everyone will be like, never drafting him again, never doing it, never. And then they come out and put up numbers. And if they don't, it's a last round draft pick, and you take that flyer and you know where the value is. You know where the ability is. It didn't work for Tyreke this season, quite clearly. It was a shit situation, but you move on. But that's the value in someone like that. And that is why having do not draft lists is a surefire way to lose your fantasy league. You know who's going to be that guy next year? Gary Harris. That's, write it down. Gary Harris is going to be that, never drafting him again, and he's going to be picked in the 140s, and he's going to come out with a top 60 season, and he's going to end up winning people's leagues. That's who I think the guy is, without doing any research. With Landry Shamet out, Garrett Temple started 15-4, 5 triples, 3 assists and 2 steals. How many times have we seen a big Garrett Temple line and go, this guy's a good bloke? That's a good line. And then he comes out and has 2 points on 7 shots. Do not get sucked into the Garrett Temple experience. Again, great bloke. This is not consistent. Montrezl Harrell had 18-5 with 2 blocks. while Louis Williams, 24-7, big numbers from him, while Gilgeous Alexander, not his best game, but still 31 minutes, 10-4-4, I like his spot in a 12-team league. Sindarius Thornwell, every game for the last six games, Doc Rivers has played him 1 minute, and 1 minute only, that's it. I don't get it, but another 56 seconds here, 1 minute in every game. I don't get it. Anyway, for Minnesota, maybe there's something in Thornwell's contract that has like per game average numbers. So Doc is playing in 1 minute in every one of these games. So it counts as a game and drops all these averages right down. Maybe that'd be pretty tight if you did that. For the Wolves, Townsie, 24-13. Dario Saric, 18-5 in 27 minutes. All these games with Gibson out, Saric goes from a 22-minute guy to a 27-minute guy. That puts him fair and square in the 14-team radar zone. Josh Okogie, only 9 points, but 3 assists, 3 steals and a block. He's a 14-team league guy. He's a steals streamer. You add Marcus Smart over him for steals. I think you add Big Shaq Harrison over him for steals.
Big Shaq!
But he's in that zone. While Tyus Jones, 13-2-8. I prefer Jones over Okogie for 12s. Wiggins had 22-3-3. Just shit on your percentages as he is wont to do. While Tone Tolliver and Jared Bayless couldn't have been more disastrous in their minutes. 0-4 for Tone in his 21 minutes, while Bayless went 1-5 from the free throw line. So I apologize if you added those guys because they just, as complete bit part players, went in and did a fair effort on your percentages. The Sacramento Kings beat the Mavericks on the road, 125-121. Cauley Stein, who'd played under 20 minutes for the last two games, played 30 minutes here. Cool, why not? 16-7 with a steal. He's more of a fringe 12-team guy than a must-roster guy. Bud Hield and De'Aaron Fox were dreadful last game. They weren't too much better in terms of shooting. They were dreadful in shooting. Dreadful in shooting, again, both under 40%, but filled the box score in other ways, while Bogdan Bogdanovic, close to 30 minutes for the second consecutive game, 14-3-5. Now, he'd been pushed right down to like 20, 21 minutes a night. There's been a slight switch in the rotation, so Bogdanovic is back on the 12-team radar. While the pencil, Harrison Barnes, Barnesy. 18 points, 3 rebounds and assist. You could not get a more Barnesy line than that one. Bielitsa played 28 minutes and had 8-6-4. He's a 16-team league guy. While Dave Yeager before the game. Now, Dave, I know that at the start of the season, you said that something along the lines of already implied something along the lines of, I don't know why this front office didn't take Luka Doncic, which is a valid question and remains a valid question, and then had to backtrack and, no, that's not what I was saying, blah, 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 blah. But then to come out today and say, well, we've got the rookie of the year on our team here, you don't. You pretty clearly don't, and that's the situation where you just don't have to say anything at all, and you can make the thing he's sticking up for his guy, but when it's clearly a lie, it feels patronizing. Now, I'm not Marvin Bagley. Do I go and go, yeah, coach thinks I'm better than Doncic? Or I just go, Dave, you're full of shit, mate. Like, how can I believe anything that you're saying here? Because to be fair to me, I've only played 55 games to begin with. I've had 2 knee injuries, and you've kept me on the bench all friggin' season. If you think I'm that good, start me over this Spud Cauley Stein or over Bielitsa. But I'm your rookie of the year. Come on, Dave. There's a real disconnect there. And anyway, to respond to that, Bagley had 14 points and 2 rebounds in only 24 minutes as the Kings' rookie of the year festered on the bench so that Cauley Stein could play 30 minutes. For the Mavericks, the real rookie of the year had a triple-double, 28, 12, and 12 in 36 minutes. And finally, he hit his free throws, Luka Doncic, 10 of 11. The free throw attempts should absolutely get your nuts tingling when you think about him hitting them at a high rate. That pushes him into top 15 discussion long-term. He's an 80% shooter through his European career. And this year, 65, 66. I think he's at 70 for the season, but the last 2 months has been under 70. But here, 10 of 11. This is why we're excited. A bloke as a rookie getting 11 free throw attempts and getting those numbers so consistently that if they fall in, the value is there. That was great from Doncic. Dwight Powell, man, what a second half he's had. I hope you guys grabbed him at the trade deadline because he's been a monster. 21-13 with 4 blocks. Kleber also coming on strong now. 17 with 4 triples and a block. He's actually in 12-team discussions as well. While the burner, Jalen Brunson's been a little bit quiet lately, but 15 points, 3 triples and 3 assists is still worthy of at least a consideration spot. Ryan Brokoff is a better player than Justin Jackson. He got more minutes than Justin Jackson. He should continue to get more minutes than Justin Jackson. He can be that 3-point streamer, probably 16-team leagues. He had 11 points with 3 threes, and it's 3 consecutive 20-minute games for Brokoff, and he's hitting threes in them. Well, Jackson is trash, and this is who he is. 2 points, 1 rebound in 17 minutes. He has those games where he scores. It comes on weird high volume and high efficiency, and when it's not there, he cannot contribute. They should be giving these minutes to Brokoff, and it looks like they are. So he's an interesting deep league sort of an ad player. Is our old Ryan Brokoff. I think he shot about 47% from three in Europe last year. The next game, the Detroit Pistons and the Denver Nuggets. The Nuggets squeak one out, 95-92. Griffin had 29 and 15 on 32 field goal attempts. Yeesh. Drummond had 13 and 17 with two steals and two blocks, while Reggie Jackson, who'd been 24 minutes a night for the last week or so, played 31, had 17, 4 and 5. That's strong. I don't trust it, and I think he's more a 14-team league guy. The Duke, he had four triples for 12 points in his 29 minutes. That's all he is, though, a three-point streamer, Allington, while the Duck, Luke Kennard, had 8 and 7 in his 31 minutes. Love the minutes. The production's waning, though. It's up and down. He's more of a 14-team league guy. Langston Galloway, can we just get this guy's minutes out of here? 4 points in 22 of them. For the Nuggets, the Blue Arrow, Jamal Murray, had been a bit quiet lately, 33, 3 and 5, and with Malik Beasley out of the rotation because he was expecting a child, well, not him, obviously his missus was expecting a child, we didn't introduce anyone new to the rotation. The minutes just got spread to everyone else. Gaz Harris.
Nice, Gary!
He played 36 and had 3 points. Not a 12-team league guy. Fartin Will Barton, 10 and 7 in 33 minutes. Not a 12-team league guy. We had, I was going to call him Arrow. The Blue Arrow, Jamal Murray, played 38 minutes. That's where all the minutes went. And Torrey Craig got 13 and Monty Morris stayed at his 23. Jokic was pretty good, but the inefficiency was a real problem with him. Well, Millsap, 40 minutes, that's a lot. 10 and 13 with 5 assists and a triple one on 2 of 10 shooting. That's two real brutal shooting nights in a row for Millsap. The last game of the nightcap, the Wizards lose to the Lakers comfortably, 125-106. Beal played 37 minutes. His minutes load is ludicrous. 32-5-2, continues to be excellent. While Punch Bob had 10-7-4 in 25 minutes, and Tom Bryant played 28 minutes and had 7-6. He'd been getting consistently 35 a night, Bryant. Brooks decided to limit that. The decision on who's a better player here is, to me, is pretty obvious. It's Bryant over Portis, but I'm not coaching this team. Troy Brown had 25 minutes in a start, 6-4 on 3 of 10 shooting. And Jabari Parker, the efficiency and usage was back here. 30 minutes, 18 points. Worth looking at as a stream guy, especially for Wednesday when Ariza's likely to be sidelined. For the Lakers, JaVale McGee, he's over his pneumonia, and he's unbelievable. 20 and 15, 2 steals and 4 blocks. This is ludicrous production from McGee, a clear must roster. I think KCP's a must roster as well. 3 more games left this week, plays on Wednesday, 29 points, 6 triples, 5 rebounds, 2 steals. I think LeBron's going to sit out on Wednesday. I think that Reggie Bullock won't play on Wednesday. I think Josh the Hitman Hart's going to be out, so there's a lot of minutes there. Rajon Rondo, only 7 points, but the assists and steals is why you have him, and he delivered him 10 assists and 2 steals. While 25 minutes from Lance Stephenson literally never needs to happen, but apparently it did here. 7, 10, and 5 for Lance, and no, he didn't cross Jeff Green into existence. He stood on his foot and Jeff Green fell over. Simple as that. I wish we'd stop celebrating Lance Stephenson because he is a shit bloke. The future MVP, Kyle Kuzma, 15 points in 30 minutes on 15 field goal attempts. And this is going to sound like a hot take. Maybe it is. And I could be wrong. Very easy. I'm wrong on things often. I think Kyle Kuzma's stretch as a top 100 fantasy player is done before his rookie contract is done. I don't think he's that good. And if this team looks to get better, I don't think that he's going to have that large of a role. I think he struggles with so much in the game apart from scoring. His shooting is way off this season. In fact, he's only the 109th ranked player last season. Maybe that's not a hot take. He still hasn't been the top 100 player. 109th this season, 106th last season. Will he ever have a top 100 season? Maybe that's the more realistic question. He's shooting 31% from three this year. He does nothing else in any other category. No steals or blocks or assists and low rebounds. Poor efficiency. Can't shoot free throws very well. I worry about this guy long term, you know, quite a bit. You're putting together pretty piss poor performances is the word I'm looking for. Not much else to talk about on this Lakers team. Just see a quote from Bradley Beal saying he's pretty sure that the coaches are going to start limiting his minutes, but he does want to keep playing in all games. I guess that's a positive there. But again, we'll see on Wednesday. His minutes load has been absolutely off the charts this season. Let's flick this into DFS mode now and look at the perfect lineups on DraftKings. Doncic, Wade, Bacon, the two Dwaynes, Christian Wood, Dwight Powell, Kemba Walker, Blake Griffin, and JaVale McGee for a total of 432.75, and that costs $49,900. And on FanDuel, Kemba, Trae Young, Doncic, Wade, Bacon, DeAndre Bembry, Dwight Powell, The Woodsman, Christian Wood, and Nikola Vucevic for a total of $435.6, and that cost $59,800. All right, guys, let's talk some DFS for Wednesday's games here in the NBA. We're going to be focusing mainly on DraftKings pricing. The first game we look at is the Golden State Warriors traveling to take on the Memphis Grizzlies. There's no spread or total at this point. I guess Vegas is just waiting to see the status of Mike Conley, who missed last game with some thigh soreness. If he is out, you're going to get a bunch of value for guys like Tyler Dorsey, DeLon Wright, Bruno Caboclo, all these guys who really shined through last time for Memphis. No injury concerns at this point for Golden State. I don't imagine anyone's going to be sitting out, but it is always something that we have to pay attention to. At point guard, Conley himself at 7,400. If we hear that he's going to play, and it is the first game of the night, I really like him at that salary. He had been putting up 45 a night over his last five games before this mystery ailment crept up, and that's a really, really good price for Conley, but of course it's something we have to watch. As for Steph at 8,900, he's been a 40-plus guy majority of the time. I think he's probably more of a tournament guy with the potential blowout scenario, but if Conley's in, I'd feel okay about looking at Steph here. He's not the best player on the board, but with only five games on, there is something to see there with Curry. Tyler Dorsey at 4,500. I like that irrespective of if Conley plays or not. He started the game prior to that for Avery Bradley, even when Conley was playing. He is a little bit hit or miss, but the hits are pretty high. Well, DeLon Wright, similarly, even off the bench, he is a value play. Now, at 5,600, his value is decreased a little bit if Mick does happen to get on the court, but still averaging some pretty big numbers, 30 a game over his last five. He would be a strong cash guy if Conley's out, more of a tournament guy if Conley plays. For the shooting guards, Clay's at 7,000. I think you'll find better options than that out there. While Justin Holiday turning it on at the right time of the year, 4,600, he becomes a good option if Conley is sidelined, otherwise more of a tournament guy. Caboclo had a career high last game, 48 points. 48 DraftKings points in 35 minutes. It's unrealistic to consider him as that level of an offensive producer, that level of a shooter. But at 4,400 in a potential or almost guaranteed another start, he is in play here for sure. His roster percentage will skyrocket though, while Kevin Durant at 8,700, probably a little bit more favorable than Steph because he's $200 cheaper. But his recent production hasn't been great, just a 36-point average over his last five. Chandler Parsons, that looks to have dropped off after a little strong run from Parsons. For the big men, Joakim Noah is out for the Grizzlies, so Ivan Rabb will slide into that backup role. At 3,600, he is maybe interesting as a tournament guy, most likely not interesting, but there is at least something to pay some attention to with him. While Boogie Cousins at 7,200, I love that salary for Cousins. I think he could really give you a 40 or a 45-pointer here, which is good value. While Jonas Valanciunas is all the way up at 7,700, because he's putting up huge numbers, 49 average over his last five. The matchups are decent one for Jonas. I think there's an element of risk here with him just because that salary has pushed up that much, and that might lead me to probably fade off him. Draymond's at 6,200. I don't really see the appeal in Green at that sort of a salary. Let's look at it over on FanDuel now. Now, Rab at 36, still got that tournament appeal. I like Bruno at 46. I like Jonas at 8,400. Justin Holiday at 44. But the guys like DeLon's up to 62 and Tyler Dorsey's up to 5. It's hard to use those guys if Conley plays, but if Conley's out, I think they both beat that value pretty comfortably in that situation. The next game that we take a look at, the Portland Trail Blazers and the Chicago Bulls. No spread or total at this point. Lots of really, really interesting things happening on that Chicago side. We know that Yusuf Nurkic is out for the Blazers. I imagine they'll start with Enes Kanter, but Zach Collins will get equal minutes or perhaps even more minutes there, and it's a really good matchup. The Bulls are likely, or they're going to be without Otto Porter. They could be without Chris Dunn, Zach LaVine, and Lauri Markkanen as well. Markkanen left Tuesday's game due to an illness or a feeling of fatigue. LaVine's dealing with a thigh issue, and Dunn's dealing with a back problem. So value could be opening up right across this entire game. Really, there's a ton of stuff that could happen here. CJ McCollum out for the Blazers as well. At point guard, I love Seth Curry, 4,200. He's playing 30 minutes a night. He's producing in those minutes and putting up good numbers. I like him for cash a lot. Big Shaq Harrison.
Big Shaq.
He's at 4,900, replacing Otto Porter. He's giving us 30 a night. Again, love him for cash as well. While Damo Lillard at 10,300, even if he only plays 28 minutes against this shell of a Bulls team, he should be able to get 50 points pretty comfortably without Nurkic and without CJ McCollum. Chrissy Dunn's at 57. I don't think that he will play, but we're not sure yet. LaVine at 76. Pretty stunned if both of those guys play. And even if they do, I think their minutes might be down. That opens things up for Antonio Blakeney as a GPP option. Ryan Arcigiacano at 4,100, who could be a cash guy if both of those players sit out. But they're not massively high upside guys. A high upside guy we do want to look at is Wayne Seldon, who dropped 31 points in 40 minutes on Tuesday at 3,600. If even two of those three guys, Markkanen, LaVine, and Dunn, are out, I think that Seldon at that price really does work in your lineup. Now, guys like Shaq Harrison and Seth Curry are probably preferable, but Seldon is absolutely an option in that scenario. While Luau Cabarrot could get some extra minutes as well, I like Seldon more than Timote. For the small forwards, you've got Mo Harkless at 4,300. Love Mo here. He's going to have to take on a larger role, more rebounding, more scoring. Like him quite a bit. While the chief, Al-Farouq Aminu,
sometimes may be good, sometimes may be shit.
He's been struggling a bit. He's an ultimate GPP sort of an option in this situation with Nurkic out. For the big man, Enes Kanter's at 5,000. Gotta love that. Now, that's a $1,000 price rise for Enes, but he should be getting you 30-plus in this one, so he is huge. Zach Collins, a massive matchup, great matchup, $4,000 as well. I would probably have Kanter over Collins, but Collins is an excellent option as well, who'll play some power forward and at center. While Markkanen at 6,700, obviously risky to use him at this point. Robin Lopez's minutes and production have really dropped off, so I'm not super keen on using him here. While Jake Layman continues to start and continues to be as underwhelming as you possibly could be. On FanDuel, Big Shaq Harrison at 48, I'm in on that. Zach Collins, Seth Curry, Enes Kanter. Now, Kanter's all the way up at 6,500 on FanDuel, so it takes him away from being a 100% lock. And in fact, in tournaments, I think that's a fade situation because I think his roster percentage will be pretty high and it might enable you to get away from him and get yourself a little bit of differentiation. I like Mo Harkless on FanDuel. I like Dame Lillard on FanDuel quite a bit as well. And then Wayne Seldon at 3,600 also has a pretty high level of appeal, depending on how all those injuries shake out in Chicago. The next game that we take a look at, the Indiana Pacers and the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Thunder are 6-point favorites. The total, 216. The Thunder are reeling at the moment. They're really struggling, losing a string of games, dropping to the bottom of the Western Conference playoff standings. They're going to make the playoffs, of course. Darren Collison is likely to return for the Indiana Pacers. He is listed as probable, so that reduces the impact of Corey Joseph and Tyreek Evans, who'd been playing pretty well of late. At point guard, Russell Westbrook's at 10-5. Love that. Massively in on that. While Darren Collison at 57. In any normal situation, I'd love Collison at 57. Coming back from a leg injury, I worry about how the minutes track. Could be a tournament guy, but that's probably about it. Corey Joseph, he's clearly in fade territory here. Well, Dennis Schroeder at 5,700, love Schroeder here, putting up big numbers, 32 average over the last five, should get to 30 again. They're relying upon him a lot. They're cutting Noel's minutes and Markieff Morris's minutes, going small quite a bit. That might change in this one just because of the matchup, but I do think the Thunder are really committing to giving those extra minutes to Schroeder. Wesley Matthews at shooting guard, I don't care for. 3,200 for Terry Ferguson. He exceeded that comfortably last game, had 27 points, but prior to that, he hadn't been that sort of guy, so I'm not really interested. While Bojan Bogdanović, love what he's been doing. He had a 51-pointer last time out. That's not consistently going to be at that level, but 5,900 is a pretty strong cash area for Bogdanović. The small forwards, Paul George, 9,900. Love that there. The Beatle is a 50-point guy most nights, so I'm keen on that. While Thad Young at 56. I don't think there's much upside in Thad Young, but a strong floor and a good cash play. And for the big men, Steve Adams is all the way down at 5,400. Now, he, in the last three games against the Pacers, has averaged 37 points. His recent production hasn't been great, but I think he can get to 25 or 26 here, which would give him value as a floor at least, and then push to 30, 35, hopefully. While Miles Turner at 6,200 has struggled against Adams in the past, he's coming off a big game of his own. I think he is probably more tournament than anything else. While Sabonis at 63, I'd take Turner at 62 over Sabonis without too much hesitation. On the old FanDuel, Jeremy Grant at 55, really disappointing the last couple, but I think he's in play here at that low salary. George, Westbrook, Young, Schroeder, I like all of those guys here. While on FanDuel, Sabonis is significantly preferable to Turner, 6,300 versus 7,700. All right. Let's go to the next game. We're looking at the Washington Wizards traveling to take on the Phoenix Suns. The Wizards are 2-point favorites, and the total is 231. A great opportunity for Thomas Bryant here. Now, the Wizards did change up their starting lineup for Tuesday. They sent Punchbob Shiploke Bobby Portis to the bench so that Trevor Ariza could return from his groin strain. Ariza got hurt 7 minutes into the game, and he will almost definitely not be playing on Wednesday. They did start Jeff Green at the start of the second half.
My name is Jeff.
I don't know if they will continue to do that or if they'll put Portis back in there, but even in that first half when Ariza was out, they were trying to limit the amount that Portis and Bryant were playing because it's a horrible defensive front court. It's not going to matter too much against Phoenix, but I think that Scott Brooks is realizing that Bobby Portis is not an NBA caliber starter. I've been saying that for 3+ years at least. We'll see what they do, though. There is an opportunity there with Ariza out, though. For the Suns, Tyler Johnson is out. TJ Warren is out. We don't know the status of Josh Jackson. That's going to be one for us to check up on. Devin Booker dropped 72 last game, 72 DraftKings points. He's at 9,200. Absolutely love him again. While Satoransky at 61 is a massively strong cash floor player. D'Anthony Melton, Jordy McRae, Chasen Randle. I think McRae will get some minutes, but more of a tournament guy than anything. McCall Bridges at 48 really stunk it up last time out, but I think he's an interesting tournament guy. While Troy Brown at 48, I think that's probably too high for Brown despite Ariza's absence. I'm not sure he's quite at that guy on a consistent basis. 9,000 for Brad Beal. His recent production hasn't quite been at that level, and the Wizards did talk about perhaps resting him. This could be the game that he rests. We don't know that at this point, at the time of this recording. I think more tournaments than cash with how they've been handling him or how his production has faded off a bit. At small four, Joshie Jackson's at 51. I like it if he plays. I don't think that he will play, though. Jabari Parker's at 6,400. An extra opportunity for him to get some more minutes, but still, that price is too high to consider him anything more than a tournament guy. Same with Jeff Green at 44. For the big man, Ayton at 68, I really like that. He dropped 53 against the Wizards earlier this season. Tom Bryant at 6,000, love that for Tommy as well, unless we get some shenanigans from Scotty Brooks. While Punchbob's at 6,400, I think that's too high for Portis. Not into it at all. Same with Rashawn Holmes or Dragan Bender. Over on FanDuel, Troy Brown at minimum salary, really like that. Tom Bryant at 67, I like. Ayton at 83, now that's pretty high for Ayton, but I think it's worth looking at with some of the price crunches over on some other FanDuel players. While Bridges at 55 is your GPP option. Satoransky at 69 is maybe a bit high. And if I'm taking between Booker and Beal at 10.7 for Booker or 10,000 for Beal, I would probably take Booker with the way that he has been playing of late. Almost a guarantee for 50 with Beal. Again, just fading off and coming off that back-to-back with the potential to either see his minutes dropped or games or be sat out in the game. Try again. Sit out the game in its entirety. That's better. The Lakers travel to Utah on a back-to-back. No spread or total. Will LeBron play? My guess is no, that he will not play in this one. Mike Muscala had replaced LeBron in the starting lineup the last two games that he had missed, so that's an opportunity there. You're going to get more Flaming Mo Wagner. You'll probably get more Jonathan Williams as well. It boosts the value of guys like Rajon Rondo, of Kentavious Caldwell-Pope also. At point guard, Donnie Mitchell's at 7,900.
He's Don. He's good.
I think this salary is coming down to an appropriate level of him playing with Rubio. We know his points totals drop, but I do like him in a great matchup against the Lakers. While Rubio at 56 has been giving us high 20s in all these games since he's been back, so I like him as a strong cash play. Rondo at 6,000 gets that boost if LeBron does sit this one out. And I think it also boosts the value of Alex Caruso at 4,200, but he's still more of a tournament guy. Jingling Joe's at 58, love the floor here, love the ceiling, strong play. Korver, not really. Bullock, probably not all that interesting there. He can have some big games occasionally, while Caldwell-Pope had been really, really solid lately. A lot of minutes coming his way. At 5,200, I think he is in a really good spot. The small forwards, Jay Crowder's at 45. No, Kyle Kuzma's at 66. Always worth a GPP look, but has always the ability to crash and burn. But with LeBron out, I think, or with LeBron likely out, I think it does work in Kuzma's favor. And then for the big men, I love Gobert and Favors here. At their prices on DraftKings, they are strong cash and strong tournament plays in a really, really good matchup. McGee is at 6,900.
Giggity!
Now, JaVale is playing out of his mind. It is a pretty good matchup for JaVale against Gobert, but he has struggled against Rudy, averaging just 20 points the last three times against him. But with the amount of minutes they're giving McGee in majority of games and Chandler dealing with an illness, I think that at 6,900, he is absolutely in play. Muscala, Williams, Wagner, I don't really see any of those guys as anything more than tournament guys. And if there's one guy I take a flyer on, it would be Wagner, but even then, I'm not looking too closely at them. On FanDuel, the Don at 9,000 is a tournament guy. I like Gobert at 10,000. I like Kentavious, and I like McGee for cash options. Same with Kuzma and Ingles at 63 and 6,600, respectively. Let's look at some studs and values now. Gobert is my DraftKings stud, and my value is Enes Kanter. On FanDuel, my stud is Paulie George, and my value is Tom Bryant. On Yahoo, my stud is Gobert, and my value play is Tom Bryant. And DraftStars, my stud is Paul George, and my value play is Zach Collins. That'll wrap it up for today's show, guys. Just remember, you can subscribe to this podcast on the new Himalaya podcast app, so download that. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and on Spotify. And when you're in your car, tell your smart device to play the podcast Locked On Fantasy Basketball and any show across the network, including our relaunched Major League Baseball channel. Follow me on Twitter at @RedRock_Bball. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Kevin Love.